Let the church say amen. Church, amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for what has already transpired in this place. Pray that you've been blessed by the words, by the presence of God in this place already, by the effectual fervency of prayer, for the praises of God that have been rendered through this choir and by this choir. And now we've come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth, the fifth, after the five books of Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will find Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. So Ruth is among the first eight books of the Bible, and I invite you to turn with me there. As you're turning to the first chapter, I want to lift up one additional family. I had a card and we omitted to share this family's name, but I need to do that. I want you to lift up the Reverend Sister Lisa and Zuri Williams. Their grandmother, Virgie Shepherd, passed, and the funeral is to be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Princeton Baptist Church. And so to the Williams family and the Shepherd family, we add you to our list of prayerful concerns. All right, God bless you. Say amen when you've located Ruth's book, the fourth chapter, the first chapter of Ruth's book. The Bible reads as follows in verse 1 of chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And if you go down to verse 5, it says, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Verse 8 says, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And verse 16 says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do also to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Over to verse chapter 4, verse number 15. And here the word says, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, Return to Mama's House. Return to Mama's House. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have already been present. We ask that you continue to tabernacle. Grant us eyes to see what you want us to see, ears to hear what you want us to hear. May your anointing fall fresh in this place. May these words not return void, but may they accomplish that which you've intended for them to accomplish when you gave them to the people of God thousands of years ago. Encourage somebody's heart, illuminate somebody's mind, convict somebody's soul, and God, we shall give you glory and honor. Let the anointing of the Most High fall into this place, God. Continue to rest, rule, and abide in this place. and we shall give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' sweet name we pray that the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. If you were like me, this past week took you on an emotional roller coaster. And I'm talking about the three women who were all abducted and lured away from their families at the youngest age of 14 and on up into their early 20s, late teens and early 20s. Imagine, if you will, you sent your daughter off to work. She calls and says, Mama, I'm on my way home. Birthday's the next day, and she never shows up. Imagine, if you will, another who was en route and was never heard from again. The heart-wrenching reality that your child, the child you gave birth to, mothers, the child you helped to father, fathers, are no longer present in your lives because they have been abducted off the streets, minutes from your home. And not only does the story, not only does the enormous reality and sadness of the story go from just the abduction, but the reality that they literally were within blocks of their homes with, for the last 9 and 10 years, these three young ladies were. Amanda Berry and Gina, Georgina De Jesus and Michelle Knight, all abducted, all from the same region, the same part of Cleveland, Ohio, and then kept in a house of horrors just minutes from, just miles from, just not too far from where they grew up. Imagine the horrific reality of going to sleep every night wondering where your baby is. Is she dead? Is she not? That was the fate of mothers and fathers and relatives for these last 9 to 10 years. And that was the fate, that is the fate, for over 800,000 children who are spoken about as being missing and or abducted. Some run away, yes, but there is a great percentage that are literally snatched out of the clutches of their family's hands. Imagine what Mother's Day must be like for those mothers, wrestling with that reality, never giving up hope that your baby is dead, always holding out that I am going to see my child again. So imagine then if you are one of those three mothers, one of whom passed away years before she was ever able to get the late LaWanda Miller, Amanda Berry's mother, never made it to see a Mother's Day when her baby was able to come home. And if for these other two families and or mothers and these other three families, one is to jump with joy. Can you imagine getting the call from the police officer or the detective or the investigator, whoever made the call, that your child is alive, we have found her? And you imagine the word that Amanda Berry said on that 911 call. It's me, Amanda. I'm here. I'm free. After 10 years, I'm here and I'm free. You are a mother. Imagine the elation and the joy that you would have felt and the joy that you feel right now on 2/13 Mother's Day. Somebody give God a praise offering for keeping those three young women. through their trying ordeal. And so I start off with this image, not the image necessarily of the tragedy, but the image of the triumph and the transcendence that her captor has now been caught, and I have been freed and I have been liberated, and I'm going into my house that I've never been able to go into for the last 10 years. I'm seeing my mama that I've not been able to see for the last 9 or 10 years. To God be the glory for the great things that only He has done. And yet for every Amanda Berry, for every Gina De Jesus, for every Michelle Knight, for every Stacy Dugard abducted and forced to live in the back of a man's backyard in a tent, the father two children by rape, and for every Stacy, for every Elizabeth Smart, for every Mr. Hornbeck, who also was abducted and kept as the object of someone's pleasure for 4 to 5 years of his life, for every one of those who survived, there are dozens and dozens of more who do not survive, from whom we are never heard from again. And yet on this Mother's Day, I'm trying to help someone be appreciative for the fact that if you've got mama there, you better thank God. And I want to say to some mother, if you still got your children with you, I want you to thank God, because it is not to be taken for granted. It is not to be overlooked. It is not to be assumed that when you send your children off, they're going to come back. And as a father now of an 8-year-old and a father of a 6-year-old, I have a deeper appreciation for what it means to send my children off and say, Lord, watch over them. I can't be there 24 hours. I can't be there to hold their hand every day. I can't be there for my children. Lord, you be there for my child. And so on this Mother's Day, I'm reminded of two very powerful women in Scripture whose experiences are not the same as Amanda's and Georgina's and Michelle's, but who lived a reality that is as challenging in their day and for their time. And I want to leave this word with you today to encourage somebody. Because how many of you know that even though you're in the midst of a dark situation, that the God we serve is able to shine some light in the midst of your darkness. That even though you're down in the valley, that the God we serve is able to exalt every valley and bring down every mountain. That the God we serve is able to straighten out crooked places and smooth over rough places. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help someone. I know you're dressed up on Mother's Day. I know you're looking good on Mother's Day. But I need to be real with somebody. Not everybody has it as good as you. Not everybody is in a good place like you are. Somebody's going through something today. And I just stopped by to remind somebody that God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you and I could ever imagine. And so the story of Ruth and Naomi is a fascinating one, because the story goes something like this. One moment everything's going good. A man by the name of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two children, their sons Mahlon and Chilion, they move to a faraway place away from their native Israel, away from Bethlehem, Judah. They go to a place called Moab. And in Moab, they settle down, and their two children find, their two boys find wives who are of Jewish descent, but of Moabite descent. They take Orpah and Ruth as their wives, and so things are going well. But how many of you know, just as quick as things are going well, things can turn around and your fate can find itself in another type of situation. And so before Naomi looked up, her husband Elimelech had died. And before she looked up, not too much longer after that, her two boys, Chilion and Mahlon, had died. And so one moment things are well, the other moment you are challenged. You are in a heavy place. You are in a dark place. But I'm so glad that there's a lesson to be learned from Naomi in the midst of your darkness, that God is still able to step in the midst of your situation and not leave you by yourself. Amen, somebody. Naomi finds herself with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, for whom the book is named.
And so these three words, then the Lord impressed upon my heart on this Mother's Day to leave with you. The first, I want to talk about Naomi's refrain of telling these young ladies to go back where they came from. I didn't want to talk about Ruth's resolve to not leave her mother by herself. And then lastly, I want to conclude with God's redemptive power, that he can take any situation and fix it in any situation and lift it in any situation and redeem it, because he is that kind of God. Amen, somebody. And so then, if you look first at Naomi's situation, you would be like her as well if you were in her situation. One time you got your husband and your sons, and before you look up, all three of them are dead. And so her refrain to her two daughters-in-law are found in verse number 8. It says in the text in chapter number 1, he says, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. And she says to them, I have nothing more for you. I can't give you anything. My two boys, your husbands, are now dead. I'm too old to have more children. Why are you hanging around with me? There's nothing more I can do. And besides that, God is dealing with me and has afflicted me. And if you and I were in Naomi's shoes, you and I might be saying the same thing. I know it's hard for us to hear Naomi say, God has afflicted me. But if you've ever been in Naomi's shoes, sometimes you can't help but ask the question, why, God, am I going through what I'm going through? Why, God, am I down in this valley? Why, God, am I in this dark place in my life? Why, God, have you taken my husband, taken my son, taken my son? Why, God, am I on the rough side of a mountain? If you were Amanda Berry's mama, you would ask the question, why, God, do I not get to see my daughter before I die? Why, God? And all of us have been in situations, whether as a mother or a father or a caregiver or a parent or a child or a niece or a nephew, we've been in situations where we've asked the question, why? And let me just help somebody theologically. It is not wrong to ever ask God why. What is wrong is to not sit around and wait for what God answers is the reason for what you're going through. And I'm just here to help someone to know today. Go ahead and tell them all about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. Have it out with God. If you're angry, go ahead and shake your fist at him. If you're upset, go ahead and look up at the heavens. But if you're bad enough to look up there, you ought to be bad enough to wait to hear what he has to say. And I'm just stopping by to remind someone that God will answer every prayer, that God hears every request you have. And he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Anybody ever have come to that conclusion? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's never left me by myself. And so therefore, Naomi finds herself questioning and even stating that she's afflicted. And so her refrain, not just once in verse number 8, but look at verse number 12. She says, turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them? She says to them in verse number 13 again, for no, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes. Basically, go. That is her refrain. She says it over and over again. And when you find yourself in a dark place, I'm not surprised that you don't want to be around folk. When you find yourself in a dark place, the devil wants to get you by yourself. When you find yourself in a dark place, but I'm so glad that when I am in a dark place, that God doesn't leave me there by myself. Come on, somebody. The text goes on to say, which is my second point, Ruth, Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, turns back with no malice in her heart, no anger in her spirit. She leaves and goes back to her mama's house. Does not mention in the text where her mother was, but assumes she was in Moab, where they lived and where they had come from. And so Ruth then is faced with the bone chilling reality. Do I stay or do I go? And I want you to look at her resolve. She says in verse number 15 and 16, she says, but Ruth says, 16, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. I'm so glad that Naomi, as much as she tried to push Ruth away, that Ruth made up in her spirit that she was not going to leave her mother-in-law by herself. When you don't have anybody, when you are down and out, when you are on your last leg, when you are on your last dime, and you don't know where your help is going to come from, I'm so glad that God sent some folk by your side to walk with you in the midst of your storm. I'm so glad that God sent some angels by your side to prop you up on every leaning side. I'm so glad when you're ready to give up that there's somebody that says, I know you don't want me here, but I'm going to love you in spite of you. I'm going to stay right here because you're my friend. You're my mama. You're my brother. You're my sister. And you're not too heavy for me to pick you up and hold you. Come on, somebody. Ruth says to her mother-in-law, and one might be surprised that the kind of commitment she makes is almost a vow of marriage. Your people shall be my people. Wherever you go, I will go. But here's the part I like. Your God shall be my God. Oh, I'm so grateful today that Ruth, who did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until she married into the family, she had a resurrection change. She had an understanding of what God can do. And I just stopped by to tell someone, even though you may not have known him yesterday, when you get a bite of him, when you get a taste of him, when you get a little bit of the God I serve, that the God I serve won't let you go. The God I serve will pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid. The God I serve will change your heart, change your mind, change your spirit, change your attitude. The God I serve won't leave you there by yourself. The God I serve is able. How many? He's done that for someone today. I'm so grateful that Ruth's resolve was, your God, the God I did not know until I came into this family, is now the God I have come to know. And I am making a commitment to that God that I'm not going to leave you by yourself. Can you imagine the families that keep going back to Cleveland? How many folk really did stick with these families when they were in their darkest hour? Everybody loves a winner. When things are going good, everybody want to be on your side. When you're up, you're up. But don't mess up and slip up, because then nobody wants to be around. Before you look up, nobody's there. But before you understand, everybody has forsaken and abandoned you. But I'm glad that when man and flesh and blood is gone, that God is still right there to pick me up and to hold me. Because I understand that it is only him that has brought me this far by faith. I didn't do it by myself. And as much as I love my mama, I'll always love my mama. You know the song, I'll always love my mama. But mama can't put me into heaven. Mama can't get me into heaven. I gotta come to know God for myself. I gotta have a personal relationship. I gotta bow down before him for myself. So the text says, my resolve, Naomi, coming from Ruth, is I'm never gonna turn. I'm gonna be there for you. Which brings me then to the redemptive power of God. The third point is taken from several verses in chapter number 3 and 4. The Bible says that now that Naomi can't get rid of Ruth, and they went on to back home to Bethlehem in Judah, they faced a challenging uphill battle. Because anyone knows that in those days, a woman's livelihood was tied into her husband. And if he died, she was economically vulnerable. I know I've got some strong, independent sisters today in 2013, and you can do for yourself. And the motto is, I can do bad all by myself, right? I don't need you to do bad with me. But understand, in that day, it was more of a partnership. And they understood that the reality of my wife's relationship and economic well-being was tied into my, as the man of my family. And once I died, then they were vulnerable. Not only did the husband die, but the two boys died. If she had just lost the husband, but not the boys would have stepped in and take care of mama like they were trained to do. But the husband and the boys died. And so now Naomi and Ruth find themselves economically vulnerable back home after they've been away for some time, wondering how they're going to make ends meet. But I'm so glad when you are down and out that God never leaves you by yourself. And the Bible says that God sent somebody by the name of Boaz, who was a distant relative to Naomi. And the Bible says that Boaz was considered a redeemer. And in point of fact, a redeemer meaning that he was able to buy the land on which Naomi and Ruth lived. And as a result of buying the land, he was able then to have a different kind of relationship with Naomi and Ruth than he had before. But it was only because he had the previous relationship that he was able to be considered a redeemer. And here's the point. He was considered a redeemer because someone who redeems buys back something that was about to be lost. Here, listen to me now. The text goes on to say that Boaz, who did not own it necessarily outright, he says that there's another person that is closer than you to than I am. And you need to go to that person before I can get into the situation. And so as it turns out, God fixed this thing where the person who was closer could not redeem, and that Boaz came into the situation and redeemed the situation. That means he bought back the land that Naomi and Ruth were living on and literally raised them up from economic depravity into greater security. Here's my point, that even when you are down and out, God always sends somebody by your way to help you, and you never know what they're going to look like, and you never know what they're going to smell like, and you never know what they're going to live in, and you never know what they're going to drive. But you better look out for God's blessings, because he make them in all kinds of different shapes and all kinds of different sizes. But I'm so glad today that Boaz, who was a redeemer for Naomi and Ruth, that Jesus is my redeemer. And what God, what Boaz did for Naomi, Jesus has done for me. Let me help somebody today. The Bible says in chapter number 4 and verse number 15, and may he, God, be to you as a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. What is being said in the text is that God, even in the midst of your old age, will take care of your situation. And I'm just stopped by to tell someone that God is still in the redeeming, redemption business. Do you understand what redemption means? Redemption means you were about to be lost, but somebody stepped in and bought you back from where you were. You don't understand. Redemption means you were about to be destroyed, but somebody reached down and picked you up. You were about to be crucified, but somebody stepped into the situation and took you down from your cross of crucifixion. You were about to be annihilated, but God stepped in and sent somebody to bring you out of the clutches of annihilation. You were about to be devoured by a lion, but God stepped in and took you out of the lion's mouth. You don't get what I'm talking about today. A redeemer is a rescuer. A redeemer is a deliverer. A redeemer is a savior. A redeemer is a picker upper. A redeemer is a door opener. A redeemer is a mountain mover. A redeemer is a doctor in a sick room. A lawyer in a courtroom. A redeemer is somebody that will guard you and cover you. Has anybody been delivered today? Has anybody been rescued today? Has anybody have a door of opportunity open today? You didn't do that by yourself. God sent a redeemer. God sent a redeemer. And that's the point that is made in the text, that what God did for Naomi and Ruth and sending somebody by the name of Boaz to help them, that God will also do the same for us today. I want to close by leaving this one verse with you. I've talked about Naomi's refrain, get back, get back, get back. I've talked about Ruth's resolve, I'm not going anywhere. And then I've talked about God's redemption. But understand what the text says in chapter number 3. Put this last screen up. It says that Boaz says, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Oh, I love that verse. Because although Boaz was talking about the other relative, I'm here to tell somebody that there is another relative that's closer than I. And his name is Jesus, my bright and my morning star. There's somebody else, y'all. I can't do it for you. There's another relative. I can't pick you up. There's another relative. I can't rescue you. There's another relative. I can't deliver you. There's another relative. I can't redeem you. There's another relative, and his name is Jesus, my Alpha and my Omega, my beginning and my end. There's another relative. And I just stopped by on Mother's Day 2013 to use the story of Naomi and of Ruth as a testimony to the fact that when you don't know how you're gonna make it, God always has a ram sitting around to help you get through your trial and your tribulations. And I'm so glad today that I don't do this thing by myself, that you can be somebody's Boaz. But when you can't do it, you better tell somebody, I know a man from Galilee who died to set me free. He walked this earth for 33 years. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a spear in his side. They lifted him up on a cross. He died and gave up the ghost. They laid him in a tomb. But on the third day, my Jesus got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands and said, because I live, you can face tomorrow. Because I live, our fear is gone. So I just leave that with someone today. I know Mother's Day might be hard for someone in this room, but think about what Ruth and Naomi went through. Now understand, it might not be that different than what you're going through. And if that's not you, then you better thank God for what God has done for you. Because it could be you tomorrow, or it might be you next week. But when you get down in that valley, you just look around. Wait for God to see what God is about to do. Don't you give up on God. You just hold on until your change comes. I believe sooner rather than later, God is going to send something or somebody to step into you, your situation with you, until he decides to bring you out of that thing. Ruth and Naomi went on to live happily ever after. And it's not a fairy tale. It's called a blessing. And I don't know about you. Anybody living happily ever after today? Anybody living happily ever after? You may not have everything you want, but you're still living happily ever. You may not be everywhere you want to be, but you're still living you may not be where you ought to be, but you're still you may be not driving and living where you want, but God has still been good to you. You better thank God today that this is not how the story ends. God always has another ending. And I thank him today for his grace and his mercy. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. deacons and deaconess clergy, I invite you to help me extend the invitation to discipleship. Listen, we always try to send out deacons and deaconesses into the pews and ministers as an opportunity for them to pray with you in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God a praise offering. Bless you, brother. Somebody put your hands together. We got a husband coming to join his wife and his children. To God be the glory. Amen. We've got some other members coming down. Let's give God a praise offering in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Listen, there's some, they're full coming. They're full coming. Let's give God a praise offering in this place. In the name of Jesus. There's two invitations that we want to extend to someone. The first is, if you don't have a church home, you know God, you know Jesus, but you've been out of fellowship from a church. Either you've been hurt or you've been angry, you've been upset. God is saying, I want you back in church. And I just need to remind you that there's no perfect church. So I want you to come back, God is saying. I want you to anchor yourself somewhere. And if that's you today, I want you to step out. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Secondly, and most importantly, is relationship. Membership is the first one, but relationship is the most important one. And if you don't have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, He's saying, I want to offer you a relationship. I want you to step out. Now, if you just need special prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. And step in the aisles, and any one of these individuals will grab your hand, and they will pray with you and pray for you. So special prayer, you are welcome to come. But I am extending the invitation particularly to those who want to join the church and those who want to give their life to the Lord Jesus. If that's you, listen to the words of the song. Let the Holy Spirit move you to come forward as He has done these others in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing choir.